Hello, my name is Chuck Porritt. Welcome to my Second Tree website and to this webpage titled Israel in Bible Prophecy. To understand the place of Israel, the nation of Israel, and the people of Israel in Bible prophecy, we have to go back to the days of Abraham. Abraham was a man who lived roughly 4,000 years ago. Around 1900 BC, God spoke to Abraham and told him to leave his home city of Ur, in a part of the world that is now known as southern Iraq, and to travel to a land that God would show him, a land that in Abraham's day was known as Canaan and today is known as the land of Israel. And when Abraham arrived in Canaan, God gave him two very important promises. The first promise was that someday somebody who would come out of Abraham's own body and come into the world through Abraham's family, somebody whom God referred to as Abraham's seed, would do two things. First of all, Abraham's seed would bring blessing on all the nations of the world, making forgiveness and reconciliation with their Creator, the one true living God, possible. Secondly, Abraham's seed would someday share this land that Abraham had come to with Abraham forever. With these two promises, God gave Abraham a very important commandment. Every male in his family was to be marked with the ritual of circumcision, to testify both to themselves and to the world that it would be through their family, biologically, that the promised seed of Abraham and Savior of mankind would one day be born. And so with this commandment, we see two tracks, two senses or ideas of the offspring of Abraham. First, we see a biological family marked by circumcision in the males of that family. And yet in this promise to Abraham is the promise that blessing would come through Abraham's seed upon all the nations of the world, that the blessings that God would bring upon mankind would not be limited to Abraham's family. And so we see this distinction between biological Jewishness and spiritual Jewishness played out in the New Testament. In Romans 2:28, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart." Paul went on to ask an important question. What advantage, then, is there to Jewishness, to biological Jewishness? And his answer to that was that it was because unto the Jewish people, beginning with Abraham, and especially through Moses and the prophets, the Word of God had been first given. The Jewish people were the first recipients of this gospel promise of God, and therefore the first to have the opportunity to believe this message and to trust in this coming Messiah. But Paul went on to say that real Jewishness and to be the seed of Abraham is to be vitally connected with the promised seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote to the church of Galatia, a predominantly Gentile church, and in chapter 3, verse 29, he said, "Therefore, if you are in Christ or vitally connected with Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So what does the Bible then have to say ultimately about the biologically Jewish people, the nation of Israel? The story of Israel is nowhere more powerfully summed up and presented to us than it is found in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, in the prophecy or vision of the woman, the child, and the dragon. The woman in this prophecy is the nation of Israel. The child is the promised seed of Abraham and Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the dragon is Satan. And this prophecy focuses exclusively on biological Israel. It portrays Israel as the woman giving birth to the promised seed, who finishes his work on earth and is then caught up into heaven. And in the meantime, the woman is taken into the wilderness, where she will be supported and will survive throughout the second half of the 70th week of Daniel, from 70 AD onward. But then we are shown Satan being defeated in heaven because of the work that the Lord Jesus completed at the cross. And Satan, having no more leverage before God and no more place before the throne of God, is cast out of heaven and down to earth, filled with rage and frustration because he knows that his doom is certain and his time is short. And we see this rage vented and directed first and foremost at this biologically Jewish nation or people who brought the promised Messiah into the world that defeated Satan and brought about his downfall. And so in this vision, we see the moving force behind all of the hatred and persecution that the Jewish people have experienced in the world since 70 AD. A hatred and a violence that found maybe its ultimate expression in Hitler's concentration camps during World War II. But not only do we see the past of Israel bringing the Messiah into the world and the presence of Israel being hated by the world and a world that is moved and directed by Satan as he bitterly seeks to express his frustration, but in this vision of the woman, the child, and the dragon, we also see the future of Israel. The woman in this vision is clothed with the sun, has the moon underneath her feet, and has a garland of 12 stars on her head. These 12 stars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And this symbolism harkens back to a dream that Joseph had in Genesis chapter 37, verses 9 and 10. Joseph told his brothers and his family that he had a dream that the sun and the moon and the stars would someday bow down to him. And Joseph was hated for his dream. His brothers betrayed him and sold him into slavery, where he was taken into Egypt, his brothers assuming that he was gone forever and in all likelihood dead. But Joseph did not die. He was resurrected from prison to be seated at the right hand of the greatest power on the earth, Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And from that vantage point, Joseph was then able to use his power and his authority to work in the lives of his brothers to bring them, unbeknownst to them, bring them to repentance about their past treatment of himself. In a similar manner, the vast majority of the Jewish people in the nation of Israel assumes that its brother, Jesus, is dead and has been long gone. But Jesus is not dead. He is seated at the right hand of the great Pharaoh of the universe, his eternal Father. And the Lord Jesus is now working, bringing pressure upon the nation of Israel through the nations all around her that hate her and want to destroy her, to bring the Jewish people to repent concerning their mistreatment of their brother and their unfaithfulness to the promises that God first gave to their forefather Abraham so long ago. This is what Bible prophecy tells us about the last days for Israel, that they will be days of great trial and great trouble, but a day during which many of the people of Israel will come to repentance and to an acknowledgement of their true Messiah, the promised seed of Abraham. The Bible tells us about a day that is coming, when all of those who reside in the land of Israel, regular flesh and blood human beings who are going about their everyday lives, will be both biologically and spiritually Jewish. This is the promise of God, that he's going to come back to earth, that he's going to judge all of the nations, including Israel, putting wickedness away from the earth and bringing the promised blessings of possession of the land to Abraham and to the family of Abraham forever.